From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying good morning to you from Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Each morning we join the congregation of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, where I recently conducted a series of Lord's Day morning studies in Psalm 138. Today we return to verse 2 of that psalm and resume the subject of Christ-centered worship. So stay tuned. Now, here's a piece of information that should get the attention of all evangelicals. Huntingdon University, Indiana, is, according to its website, an evangelical Christian college, affiliated to the United Methodist Church. Last year, it had a serious difference with one of its professors of theology, John Sanders. Sanders has adopted what is called open theism, that is, the view that God is not really omniscient, as Orthodox theology has always held. Sanders and the open theists deny that God exhaustively knows the future. Instead, he must react to developing circumstances and in some way is dependent upon the decisions and actions of others. The president of Huntingdon University said that Sanders' days as a professor at the school were numbered. Now, at first you may be inclined to say, good, at last somebody in a new evangelical school is standing up for Bible truth. Sadly, that's not the case. The school has various other faculty members who hold to the heresy of open theism. The school president said that it's not a litmus test. However, he was unwilling to have a Bible or theology teacher gaining notoriety for his views as an open theist. It would seem to me, and I hope I'm not being uncharitable here, but it's the only construction I can put on the evidence, it would seem to me that those people at Huntingdon appear to have a greater regard for reputation than for the honor of the name and nature of God Himself. And that's something that all evangelicals, and especially those still in some way connected with the United Methodist Church, should take to heart. I think that that's something surely that a true evangelical can't stomach. Open theism is a heretical decline from biblical orthodoxy, and it's a major step toward the apostasy of liberalism. The God of the open theists is not the God of the Bible, who is the one true and living God. That God who is, I think, most beautifully described by the Shorter Catechism when it says God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The Lord Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." No limited or contingent or dependent God. In other words, not the God of the open theist. No such God can ever grant eternal life.
Thank you.
This week on Let the Bible Speak, I've been making available to those who are interested the story of the conversion of Chris Killen, a young man from Northern Ireland. He's been a friend of mine for many years. The Lord saved Chris out of a life of drug addiction and alcohol addiction, called him to the ministry, and after a period of training in our denominational college in Northern Ireland, launched him out on a wonderful ministry among those who are still addicted to drugs. Chris has seen young people and older people won for Christ, and his own testimony has been a major part of his work among them. We have it available to you either on cassette tape or CD, and you may have it by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. So-called Christianity, and this predates even the Roman Catholic Church. So we can't blame it all on them, though they have continued it, and they have gloried in it. But there has been this propensity to go into a heathen situation and to accept as much of that heathenism as can possibly be accepted and put a so-called Christian face on it, so that you have the worship of devils with a crucifix. You have the worship of devils with a scriptural text added to it. And this is the very opposite to what God commands. He's saying, I am instituting the worship that is truly divine, and I'm instituting the place of the worship and the methods of the worship, and I'm banning everything that is of merely human origin, and I am outlawing everything that is of mere human innovation. He condemned the Jews in later times for their worship, even when they were proud of it. Remember what he said in Isaiah 65? If you look at verses 2 and 3 and then verse 5, he said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, they that sacrificeth in gardens, burneth incense upon altars of brick. In other words, that were deliberately breaking the command of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, which say, stand by thyself. This is the Jew to other people. Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. They were proud of their worship. We feel good about our worship. But God says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Now, this is one area where we need to bow down before God and accept that He alone has the right to establish how we are to worship Him. This is what's called the regulative principle of worship. I'm not going into the regulative principle in general today or in any detail. What I'm dealing with is a very particular aspect of it. And that is simply that the elements and content of our worship must center on and faithfully express the glorious truths of the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying? The content, the method, the elements that we introduce into the worship of the church or even into personal worship must center on the gospel and must faithfully express the glorious truth of Christ's finished work. Anything else is abominable to God. There's no other way to worship. As I said, this is one area where we need to bow down submissively. And that's something that many refuse to do. Let me give you a couple of examples. There's a magazine that preachers get. Some do. I don't. But I was reading from their summer 2001 issue. They carried a couple of articles called Leadership Journal. And they carried a couple of articles that highlight this problem. First article is an interview with a professional marketer, a Christian who's a professional in marketing. And he spoke of how retailers were going about their business. Retailers no longer simply open up a shop and try to sell you an item. All the ladies will know this immediately. Even I, who am most insensitive to these things, even I recognize it. You go into a store, and what they're aiming to do now is to provide an experience, merely than market a product. And of course, in providing the experience, they're going to market the product. And as he described this, the interviewer asked him, well, how does all this apply to the church? And I'm delighted with his reply. He said, it doesn't. Underline this. It doesn't. And I'm quoting, when the church gets into the business of staging experiences, that quickly becomes idolatry. And then he went on to say, increasingly, you find people talking about the worship experience rather than the worship service. And this reflects what's happening in the world. And he's dead on right. Now the next article was by a preacher. And he says, and I quote, people are on a search for the spiritual. Somehow or other, he seems to have forgotten Romans chapter 3, where Paul, inspired by God, quotes the Old Testament saying, there is none that seeketh after God. So whatever they're on a search for, it's not the God of truth. But anyway, he says, people are on a search for the spiritual. And what they're looking for is far more experiential than cerebral. Now listen to this. Instead of thinking their way into feeling, they are feeling their way into thinking. Now put these together. We have a marketer and a minister. And the marketer sees the danger of taking the ways of the world and bringing them into the church. And the minister's pleading that we do that very thing. The result is worship. That is a feel-good exercise that may include anything that's relevant. That's the buzzword. Anything that speaks the language of today. That's why you can have rock music. That music, born in hell, conceived by the devil, brought out of a culture, if you want to call it that, and that's the proper name for it is out of a worship of sin, Satan, and hell. Brought out of a culture of permissivism, wicked immorality,
deliberate breach of the law of God, that every part of it intended to express a total repudiation of God. And now we are told you can take that, you can bring it in, you can sanctify it, you can offer it up to God, and it will be well pleasing in His sight. And I tell you, when Satan is welcome in heaven, then you can offer that to God, but not until then. Once you get into the business of creating an experience, it's the experience that matters. And we are, listen, we are feeling our way into thinking. We're going to define truth by what we feel, rather than control what we feel by absolute truth. You have jettisoned Christianity, and you have laid hold of this modern, well, it's really not all that modern. I'm fed up listening to postmodernism. It's as much modern or postmodern as the devil himself, this so-called modern notion that there are no absolutes. Sinners have never believed in absolutes. Sinners have believed in themselves and their lusts. And it's still the same today. Let me give you another couple of examples. I could go on all day on this, you know. But let me give you a couple of examples. We got an email. I laughed at it, but it really is very sad. I got an email this last week from a gentleman introducing himself. I am a Christian comedian, asking for a meeting. He'd even do a Sunday morning. He could be here making you laugh this morning. I usually have my airfare plus $1,500 or $1,350. Since I'm going to be in your area, I'm willing to leave out the airfare. Thank you. And I'm even willing to give you a cut price. You can have me for $750. I wouldn't let him put his, well, I'd be careful here, his feet in this pulpit if he was to pay me $1,500. I want to go to a music hall and listen to a clown, I'll go. But don't tell me it's the worship of God. It's not. And then far, far more. Some time ago, I didn't say much in this because everybody else was saying on it, and I figured I had said enough on idolatry and holy pictures and images of Jesus and all the rest of it that are under the curse of God, no matter if it's a fundamentalist uses them, a Calvinist uses them, a papist uses them, or a heathen uses them. So let me clear the decks. I've said enough about that without me having to deal with Mel Gibson's so-called Passion of the Christ. There are many things said about it. He said it was deliberately an exposition of the Roman Mass, which is a blasphemy. My big beef with that is that any sinful man would dare to act out the Passion of the Son of God is so blasphemous that I think only hell could conceive it. That any man would take to make an image, be it in life, flesh and blood, or on a canvas, or in a statue, that any man would make an image of God, for Jesus Christ is God, is in direct and absolute breach of God's commandment. You do not make any image of God or any image connected with worship. And I tell you, it's impossible for a Christian to look at anything that purports to represent Jesus Christ without being called to worship. It's impossible. Now the Vatican has mistaken its identity and it thinks it's the religious version of the International Olympic Committee.
And it's accepting bids from cities that want to host Catholic World Youth Day for 2008. And in order to bring the Vatican on board for their side, the city of Sydney, Australia, has come up with a very elaborate plan. They want to start in the Sydney Opera House, and there they want to stage a reenactment of the Last Supper. And then they want to go through the city with the Stations of the Cross. And they have invited Mel Gibson to come and do the staging to climax in St. Mary's Cathedral with a live reenactment of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is blasphemous enough for a papist priest to take a little wafer, as I have heard them do, and hold it up and say, "This is your God. And this is a sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. True and propitiatory sacrifice." That is vile enough. Our forefathers died to oppose such blasphemy. But now, to take the celluloid Christ from Hollywood, an actor who would not refuse for another payday to act out the part of an infidel or an adulterer or a murderer, and to parade the streets with this hellish perversion of the beauty of the Son of God. And in a way that cost the actor nothing but false tears, portray the crucifixion of the Redeemer, and then to call it worship. I tell you, it's a blasphemy. And here's the thing. When anybody says what I say, you'll be attacked, you'll be criticized, he's a bigot, he's a Catholic basher, he's a lunatic, he can be anything. Let me tell you, when you start hunting experience and making experience the basis of worship, there's no way of telling where you'll end up. Experience hunting and law-breaking cannot be worship. I will worship toward thy holy temple by faith in Jesus, not by the breach of God's law and an idolatrous misrepresentation of God's lovely Son. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's broadcast. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to inquire further about the Free Presbyterian Church, comment on the program, receive our full-color quarterly magazine, and especially if you'd like to receive my booklet, A New Beginning, to show you how to be saved and sure you're saved, we would welcome your correspondence. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We invite you to visit us also at our website, freepres.org, where you may listen to and download sermons from a number of our ministers. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll make sure to join us each morning, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, as we Let the Bible Speak.